I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And it can be a pretty lucrative way to earn money. We were talking to this lady and she runs a travel blog and she makes around $200,000 a year just from the display, advertising and different affiliate income streams from her blog.
I think that's a really good way of making like passive income. I guess it's the proof that, you know, maybe you have like big dreams, but you need to go there step by step.
It's honestly the easiest way to make money, and that is, if you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you'll work until you die. This is a really famous quote from Warren Buffett. What do you make of it, Pablo?
Yeah, I say you definitely don't want to work until you die.
Yeah, no one wants to be doing that. Unless you really enjoy your work and it's not like, you know, a struggle and you wake up every day happy, you know?
Exactly, but there are still some days you want to relax and enjoy life. So I think that's why we want to discuss today passive income, so that people can enjoy their life, but also, you know, build wealth over time.
Yeah, that's true. Whenever I think of this quote, it's really funny because, like, if you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you'll work until you die. There's this really funny meme of this, like, streamer, and I think he's, like, a Twitch streamer, and he streams himself sleeping and he gets paid, and, like, and that's the meme. If you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you'll work until you die, and it's this Twitch streamer sleeping, and I'm like, that guy's a genius.
This guy has hacked the system.
Yeah, do you think Warren Buffett had that in mind when he said that?
I don't think he had that in mind at all.
So funny. Just remember that anything that we talk about in this podcast is general in nature and doesn't constitute personal financial advice. You can read our full financial services guide in the description. We would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of our land, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. So Pablo, what is your money win?
My money win is related to Marketplace. And for those who see the podcast shorts on Instagram and TikTok, basically we have like a new studio set and also new plants behind the background. And those plants were actually found on Marketplace. So we got two really, really nice plants, like really tall. And we got them for 120, both of them. And that's really good money win, I think, because one of them would have been already over 300. So that's a good money win.
It is a good money win. I love Marketplace because you can find some really good stuff on there. And I mean, I just like to think of, like, imagine before we had Marketplace, all of this stuff would have just ended up in landfill, which is just crazy to me because, like, you know, there are other people that need these things and would happily pay for it. So I think it's a great invention that we have this really amazing secondhand kind of marketplace, hey?
I agree. I mean, it would have gone to like Vinnie's or the Salvo, I imagine, no?
Yeah, I guess it would go there first and then it might go into landfill because apparently like a lot of those Vinnie's and Salvo's stores, they've already got so much stuff in there, a lot of them. So sometimes they'd have to throw away stuff or like turn stuff away. Speaking of Marketplace, we have also found some good success on there for baby stuff. I think it's really good. I mean, some stuff we did buy new, and I think it's important to buy new, like the car seat, for example, because those expire and, you know, you don't know what happened with the car seat. So that's something that we definitely bought new. But then there are some things that you don't really need to buy new. And Marketplace is a really great place for that because a lot of the times people just use this baby stuff like just for a couple of months, really, you know, and then you can buy it for a discount and then later you can resell it. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really good. And especially for baby stuff, they grow so quick out of it. So it's like something you buy, but you're going to not use in the future. So if you can find ways to find this secondhand, it's going to be almost new as well sometime. It's really good. One thing that my mom mentioned is that in France, you have this shop where you can buy clothes that, let's say you buy clothes for 1 year old, but then when they grow out of it, you can bring back your clothes, they buy it back, they give you a voucher and then you can buy older clothes. So I think that would be good to have a shop like this in Australia.
Yeah. If anyone's listening out there, any budding entrepreneurs that want to create a baby product business, it's a good idea for you right there. So the first one is, I think hands down, my favorite. It's honestly the easiest way to make money, and that is a high interest savings account. So there are some banks these days that are offering over 5% interest, which is just amazing. Just for your money sitting there, not doing anything, not touching it, you can earn some money from it. And it really does add up over time. Like it really can add up. Like I was looking through our bank statements. I was like $300 here, $100 here. You know, it's pretty good. And I'm sure we could all think of some ways that we could use an extra $300 or an extra $100. So highly recommend this one.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, high interest savings account is really important. And what's important, I guess, is to look at your bank account and see if the interest rate that you have currently is competitive. Because let's say 1 year ago, interest rates were not as high as now. So it's like some banks have kept up with RBA rates, but some haven't.
That's very true. So it's good to keep that in mind and also make sure that you're meeting all of the requirements, because Pablo and I used to be with this bank that was offering a really, really high interest rate, but we weren't meeting all the requirements because we weren't making 5 card purchases per month, because we like to use our credit cards for our points. So we weren't getting that high interest rate. We were getting like a 0.1% interest rate, which was just so bad when we thought we were getting a 5% interest rate. So then we switched to a bank that was offering a 5.1% interest rate, a little bit less than the other one. But we meet all of the requirements because you just need to deposit $200 monthly. And we can still, you know, do our everyday thing, earn our points, earn some interest on our savings. So it's important to make sure you meet all the requirements, because sometimes you think you do, but then you might not necessarily. And we also have some links below in the show notes if you would like to check out any bank accounts and get some free money there. And the one that we currently use is UBank. They have a 5.1% interest rate. So if you would like to check them out for yourself, you can use my code Queenie30 for $30. But there are also other ones out there on the market. I think ING has a really good interest rate, 5.5%, but there are a few more conditions. And Macquarie has a good interest rate as well. So just have a look.
Yeah, it's like not everyone is right for, it depends on your situation. So I think do your research and like find the best for you.
Exactly. So what's the next one, Pablo?
The next one is rental income. So actually we've been close to that one because we've received rental income for maybe a year and a half after renting out our property. So it was actually pretty good. Like we got a really good real estate agent. She found like good tenants and pretty quickly, like in the first visit. So it was really like pleasant. Like we had good streamlined experience. You know, every time there was something like with the tenant or something, she would be like easily managing it and fixing it. And they had like contacts for, you know, painter or like plumber or anything that would be like not too expensive because they work with like real estate agents. So that was nice. But one thing, because, you know, we moved back into the property and they were nice tenant, but there's still like stuff that, you know, a bit damaged in the place that you can't really control. So that's something to consider, is that the property is going to
go through wear and tear.
There's lots of expenses to maintain this rental income. So that's something to consider. But I think it's really good, and it's a good way of, you know, when if you have the money to buy a property, to get like income without really doing much.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess, yeah, it's not as passive as, I guess, bank interest. That's pretty passive.
It's not as passive, yeah, but the money is much bigger as well.
Yeah.
So you get like rent, I don't know, like $500 a week, you know, monthly. That's pretty good. Then there are all the fees, obviously, but I think the money that you can get, and if you get like multiple properties, you know, that's where it starts to compound.
Good one, Pablo. Thank you for that. So my next one is digital assets. So what I mean by this is perhaps selling a downloadable digital product or a course. And I have this really cool story about Kayla Itzenes. So as you know, she's like one of the richest women in Australia. And she built her empire from, I guess, being like a content creator on social media, doing her fitness content. But something interesting about her story is that before she started her app, which is called Sweat, she actually had this PDF downloadable product. And it was really interesting because at the time it was like, I think she was selling it for like $20, but it went so viral in fact, that my old boss, when I used to work at a fintech startup, she actually bought the Bikini Body Guide from Kayla, it seems like, in the PDF, and she was like a huge fan and she, you know, was using that PDF. So it's like amazing how far, you know, selling a digital product could potentially go. And I think she also used the money that she made from selling her digital downloadable PDF to actually launch her app and, you know, can see where she is now. So it's a pretty amazing story, huh?
Yeah, really good on her. And I guess it's the proof that, you know, maybe you have like big dreams, and but you need to go there step by step, you know. If she created the app and spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars and then doesn't have feedback, it's really hard to say if it was it or not. But she started with a PDF, she got traction, and then she's like evolving and creating the next step of her product.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's really cool. And it's also great that she is able to help women, you know, with their fitness, because it's also like, yeah, obviously she's making money from the product and the app and things like that, but she's also helping people with their fitness, you know. Like my boss, she loved the Bikini Body Guide and she loves Kayla Itzines, and yeah, definitely gets good value from it.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's the proof of, you know, you should definitely create a product that's going to solve something for your audience rather than focusing on, you know, your competitors or things like that. It's like, what does my audience need and how can I help them achieve their goals, rather than what is some other people doing and I'm going to do the same thing.
Exactly. So what's the next one, Pablo?
The next one is buying and renting out equipment. So we used to have this like giant Jenga that we purchased for one of our birthdays. And the first time we wanted to get it, it was out of stock everywhere. So we had to rent it on Marketplace, coming back to Marketplace. And then the next time we're like, you know, it's not that much more expensive to buy one and we could keep it for all our birthdays. So we bought it and then we're like, we're not using it all the time. So why don't we reverse engineer what we did and rent out this Jenga set on Marketplace? And it was like about $20 a day plus like a $30 deposit. And we rented out over like a couple of years for, I don't know, like we made maybe like between $500 and $1,000, I will say, from just renting this giant Jenga. So I think if you have anything lying at home, or even if you see like opportunity with stuff that you have rented during like your life, and you know, reverse engineer this purchase, I think that's a really good way of making like passive income with just advertising it on Marketplace, depending on, you know, where you are in the city, or, you know, far from the city, because you don't want to have too much competition. You want to kind of have an edge. So when we were renting the giant Jenga, I was usually putting it in our office in Bondi Junction, and there was not many people renting this giant Jenga there. So it was really like easy to rent it, because when they were searching for it, that was the only one in this location. So if you want to have an edge, that's pretty good, or even making it cheaper than other people.
That's a good one. I would also say potentially even like renting out your car on things like Turo, Uber Carshare. There are heaps of sites now where you can rent out your car. That's a good way to earn passive income if you're not using it all the time. Of course, you know, you need to maybe potentially take out some extra insurance, look at the wear and tear of the car. But yeah, I think that's a good way to earn passive income. And even potentially a parking spot, if you have a spare parking spot or even a spare room in your place, it's another way that you can earn rental income, but not from like, you know, purchasing a property, but using stuff that you already have.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, we used to rent our parking spot by when we used to live like renting our place 7 years ago. And now we actually rent a parking spot from like Parkhound, and it's cheaper than, you know, the secure parking, but it's still your parking every day. So I think this type of like rentals that you can make free money, that's literally free money.
Yeah, exactly. Potentially, even if you have an office, renting a desk to someone, that's another way. You know, there are so many ways. So have a think about it. any opportunities in your life, any equipment that maybe you're not using that someone else could potentially rent, there are some good things there.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to be creative. And one more thing I will add to add, if you're enjoying this podcast, what do people need to do, Quinny?
Don't forget to give us a follow and rate us 5.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Stars, we would really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. That makes, you know, our day, and we can make this podcast even better. We got this new studio. I think we're going to get more content out of it. We're recording like every single week now until the baby is out to get extra content for you.
Yeah, we're so excited. We're going to have guests on the podcast. Now we have a bigger room. And yeah, we're really, really excited to bring on some of our friends and our guests. Really excited for that.
For sure. Speaking of guests, I think Killa Etzin could be a potential really good guest for
it. Yeah, exactly. We'll try get her on the podcast. So the next one, capital gains from investing. I feel like this is one, it starts out a bit slow. You know, when we first started investing, we didn't have that much money. We invested, I think it was like $1,000 to start with, and we were so scared. We were like checking it every day. Oh my gosh, we lost $6. It was so, you know, scary. But then now, 6 years later, looking back at our portfolio, it's like pretty amazing how these returns can really compound over time. Because essentially what happens is maybe in the first year, you know, you might not make crazy money. Like let's say it was $1,000. Maybe you make $6. But then the next year, it compounds, like you make returns on the total amount of money. So the $1,006. And then it kind of compounds over time. Obviously, not every year is a positive return. These returns can go up and down. But when you stretch it out over a really long period, if you pick the right investments, they can do really, really, really well over time. And you don't even have to think about them. It's pretty amazing now. Like, we started so small, and then now, and we were so stressed about our $1,000 in our portfolio going up and down. And now it's like, you know, we've got quite a lot of money compared to back then in our portfolio, but we're not stressed because we started small, we started early, and it's just like making more money over time. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the key that you just said, Quinny, is starting small, you know, because it's not when you have like $1 million in your bank account that you've inherited that you're going to start investing. That's going to be so much harder. But if you start when you have $1,000 and then make your way up there, and nowadays you can even start with $5. So just seeing how it works, understanding the process with a bit of money, and even there are like websites that you can even test with fake money just to get your feet into it, and then slowly building up from there. I think that's the key.
Exactly, exactly. So on to the next one, Pablo.
Well, you spoke about investing. I'll keep on this train of thought and go with dividend stocks. So dividend stocks are basically stocks that give you every quarter, or stock or ETFs even, that gives you dividends, you know, that pay out to their investors. So in Australia, it's pretty popular actually to have ETFs that distribute their dividends to shareholders. So this can be a good way, you know, to invest, but also to get dividends every single quarter, because you get like literally money every time. And when we started doing dividends, like we literally received like less than $1 dividends, you know, having investing in ETFs. But now we receive like more than $100, you know, dividends that we usually reinvest. You can decide to reinvest it or keep it in your bank account and live from it, or some people. But basically that's a good way of having someone invested and someone withdraw every single quarter.
Yeah, it's really cool. And some dividends also pay out at different times. Like, you can get dividends that pay out every month, which is really interesting. Like, if you buy the right stocks or the right ETFs, like, you can actually receive an income in the form of dividends every single month, because they pay out at different times depending on, you know, where the company or the ETF that you purchased is. But yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Some people are able to also live off their dividends too, which is really cool.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the beauty of it, is that when you reach a certain amount invested, you can get like really good dividend because there's so much invested. And you can also, I guess, one of our friends has like dividends into, or received dividends because he invested in like some offices, you know, in Western Australia. And every single quarter, they pay out dividends for these offices. So that's a good way of putting money aside and getting an income from it without working for it, really.
Exactly. Really, really cool. So next point, royalties from books, music, and other work. So that's another good one. Don't know too much about this one, but thought I'd mention it just in case there are any musicians or creative people out there.
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned Taylor Swift, right? A few podcasts ago, Quinny?
Yes. It's really interesting because when she first started, she was signed with a record label and her music wasn't really her own IP. But so she wasn't able to really, like, I guess, get all of the rights for her music and really monetize the music in her back catalogue. But lately what she's done is she's actually re-recorded some of her old albums. So then she owns all of the IP for the new albums that she's created, even though they're based on old music that she's already written. And yeah, it's really cool because now she's, you know, I'm sure we've all seen the stats. Her net worth is just like crazy high because she owns all of her own IP. So I think that's really important if you are, you know, a musician or someone in the creative field to try and own your IP. I think we're also listening to a podcast today about Oprah, and it was also talking about how she, you know, was obviously doing talk shows, and when she first started in talk shows, she didn't own any of her IP. So it was owned by, you know, different stations and the TV networks, and they could obviously like sell the rights to, you know, her talk show to whoever they want. And she wouldn't really get all of the benefits from that. But then she was working with a lawyer and she was able to actually get the IP for her own talk show. And that's when her wealth really started to skyrocket. So yeah, that's a really interesting one.
Yeah, it's really interesting how, you know, they made like licensing and creating their own product by just at the beginning, you know, obviously working on TV and radio, and then, you know, being not the slave of this, but the TV channel owns the rights, and now owning the rights of their own shows and creating, being the producer of their own shows.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the next one, Pablo?
The next one is affiliate marketing. So back in the days, we used to have like small marketing agencies. And all our clients, they needed, for example, landing page or websites and email and things like that. And for those tools, like, you know, landing page tools, for example, they were quite pricey. So, for example, you need to pay like $200 a month just to keep those landing pages. And our clients usually paid for it because they needed it. But when we signed those clients up, we used like our affiliate marketing links. So that way we'll get like maybe 30% of those tools kick back to us extra on top of, you know, the retainer fees. So I think wherever possible, try to, you know, if you have like good software, good tools to promote, might as well like use your affiliate link or see if they have a referral program, because that can, you know, be a good retainer and fees for you at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really good one. And the good thing about affiliates is it doesn't cost your customers or your clients or your audience anything extra to use them, but you do get a kickback, you know, from the brand for referring them a new customer, which is really cool.
Exactly. And usually, like, I mean, if you promote this product, it's usually because it's a good product. We even do that with now our phone plan, you know, Circles, which is really good and cheap, and you can get like, you know, a kickback. So it's, everyone wins usually.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one, licensing. So similar kind of like topic to royalties, but yeah, licensing is another good one. If you do have a backlog of content that you've created, whether that's music or books or whatever it is, you can also sell the rights to license this content to other people. That's actually something that a few people have reached out to us for as well. So we made this video about, I think it was like a Google Flights hack, And then there was this company in the UK that reached out to us and they wanted to use this video in some of their articles. And it wasn't like crazy money. We were like, okay, yeah, you can license that piece of content or whatever and try to resell it to other people. And I think we did make a little bit of money from that, which was really cool, a bit of a kickback. So it is really interesting how this kind of world works.
Yeah, it is interesting. I guess companies need content and good content to, you know, promote. So if we create content or if you create content and you can distribute this, that's good. And that's actually touching on my next point is YouTube ad revenue. So with YouTube, when you have like over 1,000 subscribers and I think 100 hours of views of your videos, you can get monetization. And that's a really good way to get long-term monetization. I think the best strategy that we find that worked is SEO videos, meaning that what people are searching for, we try to create videos that people will search for and then find. And then these are like really good because over the years they can campaign because people are still searching for those keywords. So let's say how to invest, best ETFs, best bank accounts, and all these type of keywords. That really helps driving the regular views. And that can be a good way of earning passive income.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like we weren't making very much money when we first started our YouTube channel. But now every month, you know, we make a few extra like $100 per month just from content that we had created years ago. So you really never know where it could take you. And that leads on to my next point, which is Google ad revenue. So similar to a YouTube channel, Google ad revenue is basically like, I'm not sure if you've been to like different websites or blogs that have those display advertisements. Basically, whenever you view a website, the creator of the website gets a bit of a kickback from the advertisers advertising their display advertising on their website. And it works in a similar way to YouTube. So these creators of these websites and blogs get paid for hosting advertisements on their site. And it can be a pretty lucrative way to earn money. So we were talking to this lady and she runs a travel blog. And she makes around $200,000 a year just from the display advertising and different affiliate income streams from her blog. Obviously, this didn't happen overnight, and she's been creating a lot of articles in the backlog about travel that has enabled her to do this. But it can really go to show like how far you can take this.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, ad revenue from like visits is really good. And if you create a lot of articles, and that really campaigns. And obviously, it takes a bit of time to create all those articles, but that pays off over time.
Exactly. And same with the YouTube channel as well. You know, we have friends that make a lot of money just from YouTube ads. They still have to keep on creating content to earn this money, but a lot of the content that is monetized is content that they created years ago, which is really cool.
Yeah. And my last point is related to automated online business. So basically dropshipping. So we did do that for a couple while back and we were selling like kitchen gadget items. So basically anything. Kuni, why are you laughing?
Because Pablo, it was Pablo's idea and Pablo loves like gadgets and things like that. And I just think it's such a Pablo business, like the kitchen gadgets. I don't know.
Yeah, I think because I love gadgets and I was buying them and I was like, maybe there is like a business for it. And I just bought the domain like kitchengadgets.com.au or something like that. And I was getting, you know, a few gadgets here and there and then selling it. But yeah, that was interesting to understand how it works. And you basically like listing items from AliExpress as people were buying them. I was like basically like sending them the items from AliExpress. And that was good for a while. But then I find that after a while, I was like spending quite a bit of money on ads and I was barely breaking even for the time that I was spending. I was, I guess, losing money in a way. But I think if you find the right item, that can be a good way of understanding a market, if there is a market for it, without too much time and effort. And then later on, then you can create your own product from there.
That's very true. So I think maybe even picking a name that's a bit more diverse. So then you can try out a few different products on your website, see which one sells, and then, you know, go hard on the product that sells or the niche that sells, you know. But yeah, it's a good way to kind of test the market. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We really, really appreciate each and every one of you. Don't forget, we are creating a budgeting tool called Bilroo, and we are so excited. We have opened the waitlist. So if you would like to join the waitlist, you can check out the link in our show notes. We are so excited. And we are letting a couple of people in every day to test out our new product. And we are releasing a lot more new features over time to help all of us with our budgeting more. We are so excited. And we'll see you in the next podcast.
See you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.